This is Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
Hi, I'm Joe Cole.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Ball's gonna bounce down. It's three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. We're going a little bit late, but hopefully worth the wait. This is the Unused Substitute, your green and gold gospel, your Rowdies talk radio, coming to you live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network and sponsored by Roughneck Scars. I'm going to continue to steal this line from I believe it's the Chuck and Tony Ragnatalk podcast and say that I'm sitting across the internet from two of my favorite people. Who know a heck of a lot more about what we're going to talk about than I do. Dan and Jake is here tonight. Guys, what's going on? Dan, how you doing?
Thank God Prohibition ended.
Actually, that was something that I brought up in all my classes today, too.
It's very relevant and important to my life.
Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. My microphone that I usually use for all my unsubs recordings is kind of falling apart, but it is holding up for now, and hopefully Santa notices that I put it on my Christmas list, a.k.a. my mother, so I need a new microphone, but other than that, I'm doing all right.
All right. Remind me, I wanted to ask you something about that later when we're off the air. That just made me think of something. I'm going to throw this first question out there. Just out of nowhere, Dan, I know you got to run for a second.
No,
but...
we're good. I'm good.
All right. Is our intro officially retro now? Like, do we have to do shows on Thursdays? So the opening is Throwback Thursday now?
Yeah, I think we need to find a way to update that or re-edit because everybody's gone.
like what, Neil's there. Neil's in it. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, even Mike Pepper's gone. Like, the whole thing is obsolete other than Neil.
Oh, man. Good times though. Yeah, we will. Well, once guys start getting in town and we start getting access to them, maybe we'll see what we can do about that. All right. Well, I was excited like 30, 45 minutes ago. I was like, man, I actually have to write a real show notes, not just, throw in like one thing that we're going to talk about because we're still winging it until actual news comes out. Like there's actual news. This is kind of cool. The Rowdy started rolling out the first re-signings yesterday. Announced four players from last year's squad returning, those being Leo Fernandez, Sebastian Guinzotti, David Najum, Dominic Oduro. They made mention in the press release that Najum is back to 100% after last year's injury. And also that, well, two things. Number one, that more players from last year could be announced in the future. So door isn't closed, I guess, on well, really anyone except maybe those players that were released earlier. And that new names would be announced this week. And we'll get to the new names in a minute. But guys, give me your take on the re-signings. Jake, go ahead.
Pleasantly, well, not shocked at all, really, by any of the names. I think Neil kind of said it in the press release, or maybe I'm mixing up the press releases, but these four guys, I think, kind of epitomize the attitude most first and foremost that Neil wants to bring to the team. They're all fighters. They're all pretty passionate guys, I think, and kind of scrappers, especially Guinzotti. Dottie's one of those guys that will run through a wall for you. He'll play multiple positions. He'll go wherever you want him to go. My favorite of the quartet is definitely David Najum, because before his injury that I was forced to witness in New York up close and personal, which was brutal, I kind of considered him the MVP of just those first few weeks of the season. I mean, so much of what the Rowdies did when they got off to that positive start that seems like freaking forever ago to start the 2018 season was due to David Najum's play, I thought. I thought he was a huge upgrade compared to what we've had in that position in the past. No offense to the other guys, but I thought he brought a whole other level to that position. And so I'm excited to see him come back most of all, I think.
Yeah, I remember, you know, Najum got off to a great start. Everyone was bummed when he went down. Fernandez, you know, kind of started off good. He had the first couple goals of the season, right? He scored the first one in North Carolina, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then, you know, kind of cooled off a little bit. And Guenzotti kind of, you know, as months went on and you know, it was an up and down season. But Guenzotti really caught fire in September. And like, it feels like we scored like 7 goals last year. And I think Sebastian had at least half of those in September. So I'm glad to see him back as well. Dom Oduro, after coming in kind of midseason, made his mark in his first appearance at the away game in Charlotte. I'm forever grateful to him because I drove like 10 hours that day with a 10-year-old in the car, just me and her to Charlotte to see that game, and that made the entire trip worthwhile. His kind of rocket to tie the game up. So I'm happy to see that as well. It's a nice little group. Before we get to the new names, is there anyone? You know, they mentioned in there that, you know, other names from last year could be coming in the next few days. Is there anyone off the top of your head that you're like, I really want that person back, or I hope that, you know, that we see this guy again, whether it's a starter, whether it's a role player, bench player? Who were some names from last year that you wouldn't mind seeing back?
There are a few, but I think realistically, I think the number one guy, I think, is Pape Diakite, but I'm not sure what the status is at the moment. I think I think Neil was really high on him. I think Neil was really high on a few guys that have not been announced yet. Their status hasn't been announced yet, and they weren't included in that initial release of players, list of players. So I think Pape was what he did when he came in midsummer, I think, really started to stabilize the defense, I think. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him come back, and I think that'd be a really solid re-signing. And then after that, I think I'd have to. I think I want to go Stefano Bonomo.
Okay.
It's like another guy who came in, did really well to start off, and then got injured at some point, and then it's like, oh, geez, we're going through this again. Like another guy who had so much potential to carry this team and then just gone just in a flash like that. So I think potentially if he comes back, it could be a really big boon to the attack.
All right, so I'm going to throw a couple. I like both of those. I remember hearing from someone who remained nameless, not anyone employed with the team or anything, but someone who told me they had talked to Pape kind of near the end of the season, and he was saying he was already getting calls from other teams. So who knows? I mean, nothing's been announced, and you would think maybe if they were already working on deals, maybe it's something that would have been wrapped up by now and be out there. So maybe it's still a possibility. But yeah, him, Murad, I liked. But I think if you're re-signing guys in the back line, it's going to be one or the other of them most likely. But I would love to see Vega back in goal. I think that would be
that's a good call,
a nice one to bring back. And this one, and I'm still going to wear the cape for this guy. I'd love to see Jochen Graf get another chance. at turning it around, because I don't think anyone doubts he's capable of more than what he ended up showing or was able to show here last year. And I think a lot of things didn't break his way once the preseason ended, because he had a heck of a preseason. And it just, I think it, his confidence was kind of shot early on, and it took him a while to get back into it. I don't know if it happens or not, but I'd like to see him get another run. I just love the guy. I can't help it.
Yeah, I would say I like Graf. I think I think that those first couple months of the season really just kind of broke his confidence a bit, and it kind of got in his head, I think. And then for whatever reason, he just didn't factor in when Neil took over either. Maybe that was confidence stuff carrying over, and then Neil wanted to give some other guys a shot, and once they started performing well, it was tougher to get Graf in there, I think, maybe. Or maybe he just doesn't fit into what Neil wanted to do. And he did well, I think, in those few appearances he got out in the Western Conference with Reno. But I would guess it's unlikely, but I can understand why you'd want to see him back.
I actually thought Reno was going to end up signing, because if I remember correctly, he scored the goal that clinched the game that got them to the playoffs.
Yeah, he did.
I think so. I thought maybe he'd, but when they announced a bunch of moves the other day, he wasn't part of that. So I know he's going to be in the area in the off season doing some private coaching and stuff. And guy just got engaged, like shout out to Jochen for that. All that kind of stuff makes me think that, you know, he at least has some idea of what's going on in his future, and hopefully it would be here, in my opinion, but wherever he goes, I'm going to wish him luck. Dan, you wanted to give somebody a shout out. Go ahead and do that. I didn't get a chance to do it yet.
Oh, I was just going to say,
I have to pop my other pills for the next like 2 minutes. So yeah, I'll let you talk for a little while.
I don't know what happened while I ran away. But I was talking on the subject of the four returning players. Just wanted to give a shout out to Andrew Keene and the medical staff there for getting Naj healthy again and back to 100% in time for preseason and whatnot. I think, not like you guys were saying before I took a little jog. I think Naj was the early season MVP, and him going down with that injury was a turning point in the season, and obviously for the worse. The mid-season signing of Dom Maduro was fantastic. Helped shore up that defense, and I'm happy he's back. I think I've been pretty vocal about that beforehand. And Leo's been a spark plug. And Seba, the resurgence of Guinzatti at the end of the season was something to behold under Neil. He was a goal-scoring machine there for the last 2 months, 3 months of the season.
We do have to revisit some old business now.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. I probably should get that tattoo, shouldn't I?
You still have to get the tattoo, don't you?
Yes, I think, especially now that he's staying, and we should do that. Maybe we'll do that to kick off the season.
I think it's going to have to be a thing. The other thing we were talking about is they mentioned in the press release that other names from last season could be returning in the future. Any names that, you know, off the top of your head, guys you would like to see back?
I think you said, you know, Jochen, that would be good. I would like to see Vega back as a keeper.
I've mind.
Let's see. There's so much turnover through the year on the roster that I don't even remember.
I was talking about this with one of my relatives on Thanksgiving when they were asking about what's going on with the Rowdies, and they were like, "So, what's the status? Is it like a total rebuild again?" And I'm, yeah, I think so. I think it's even like legit a rebuild this time. Like, I'd be surprised if six guys from last year returned.
Yeah, well, we're already at four. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what else happens. Oh God, something was just going through my head, and now I've totally lost it.
I just want to check the Rowdy's roster on the website, and it's like the Sports Engine email password, like it's locked. You can't even check.
Yeah, they still haven't put it up there. The only meaningful update I've seen is I have a column in TweetDeck open that's the Rowdy's have a list of all the players' Twitter accounts. And they just started updating it yesterday. It switched from 2018 roster to 2019. I thought maybe I could sneak a peek at it and get the lowdown on some guys who might be coming, but they have not been added yet. Just the six guys that are up there. But you know what might have jumped out the most to me about these four guys, and I think you guys will understand the connotation of this. I checked the Rowdy's Facebook page, the post with the announcement. Every comment was positive.
I don't believe it.
Every single one.
Nope,
like the closest thing that could be a negative was someone saying, let's go get King back too. And this was like an hour or two after he announced he had signed with Nashville. But like and some names that I stick in my head because I always see kind of grumbles from them. Like it might have changed since then, but there was like 20, 30 comments and everyone was like, great move, great. Because, you know, honestly, we've been waiting all offseason and we really haven't heard anything from the co-chairman or much out of the front office, and we you know, kind of waiting to see what's it going to look like under Ray's management. I think between the players they re-signed and the new guys they brought in, and we've heard whispers of some other names that we're going to wait and see if they come true or not. Like, they're making a pretty serious statement about what they want to do with this team, and you know, a lot of people are saying they're going to go really young, and you know, a lot of, you know, kids out of college or kids with no experience. Like, roster's fairly young. It's all, you know, early to mid-20s, but guys with a lot of USL and even some MLS experience too, whether it's having been drafted out of college and played a season or two or played for some of the two teams, like Philly and New York's two teams. But, I mean, so far it's a really – I mean, it's hard to say a solid roster out of six guys, but it's six good guys so far.
Yeah.
Be right back. I've got to go to Facebook and leave a nasty comment so Mike doesn't feel.
You have to restore the balance. Like, you have to go do, like, it's like Thanos snapping. You have to go put a nasty comment in there just to make the universe right again.
No, yeah, you're right. And to your point, I mean, the six announcements so far, the six guys for 2019 are all under 30 years old.
Yeah, I mean, we went through this thing kind of, and Joe Cole and Marcel Schaefer are kind of good examples, and they definitely contributed. Like, it wasn't like they just came here for a paycheck. But if you're looking for this team to keep adding kind of the 30 and over European guys with two or three years left, like that, I don't see that happening. But I think they're going to add experienced guys at this level, guys who have won things, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. But you know, but at the same time, I was thinking this in my head, it's a lot of what we did last year. Like, we went out and got some proven talent and it didn't pay off. So it's a matter of putting the pieces together. You know, we're not doing the indie thing and just signing all the guys that Cincy cut loose. But it's solid on paper and it's, we've got to wait and see what happens. So we haven't talked about the two new guys yet. Do we need to? Anything else? Anybody wants to add about the returns?
No, sorry, I'm actually looking at the comments now.
Right, isn't it amazing?
I mean, even on the two new signings, it's all positive.
See, I haven't checked those yet, but it's like now I know what's inside Marcellus Wallace's briefcase in Pulp Fiction. It's just positive comments on Rowdy's posts.
This is weird. What world are we living in right now?
All right. Well, let's get to the new guys, because of course the other thing that has returned was the stashing of important news at the bottom of press releases, at the bottom of the release about the four re-signings. There was a line: new signings will be announced this week, starting tomorrow. So tomorrow being today. We got our first two new names, and I want to say thanks to the Rowdies for putting this out there at 11 a.m., 3 minutes before my planning period ends, so I have a few moments to digest, and I don't have to, like, sneak a glance while kids are working on stuff. Brandon Allen, who played last year, split time between, started out the year with Bethlehem Steel, ended up with Nashville. I think he was Nashville's leading scorer, at forward. And then Zach Steinberger, who is a name that's, you know, we've played against him. We haven't. I'm old and lazy. Rowdy's played against him in Jacksonville. If I remember right, he won like an NASL Goal of the Year vote or something, like when NASL was still a thing. But two more young guys, 25 and 26. Steinberger started out with Indy last year and went to North Carolina FC. for a little bit. What's your thoughts on these guys?
I think they're, from what I can tell, and doing a little research, they're pretty good. Brandon Allen was what, Nashville's leading scorer last year. They made it to playoffs. And Steinberger is pretty good. Brian Cook, that's his name, right? I can't think today. Brian, who I think writes for the Beautiful Game Network and is an Indy 11 fan, said he's a huge fan of Steinberger. He has the ability to get forward, but was underutilized in Indy. He actually says that he thinks that he's probably one of Indy's biggest offseason losses, even though he was loaned out to North Carolina for the end of the year. So I think we've got two quality guys here that can help put some balls in the back of the net. And I think having a center mid in Steinberger that can, you know, move forward and with pace is what we were lacking. And that's not a shot at, obviously, Joe Cole. Joe Cole's a legend and whatnot, but his legs weren't 26 years old anymore. So I think having that kind of presence and to push the attack faster, like the counterattack faster and whatnot, will be an asset going forward.
Yeah, I was really high on Steinberger when he was with Jacksonville. That 2017 season when the Rowdies were not in the NASL, but I was still covering the league for Empire Soccer, I got a really good chance to get familiar with Steinberger when the Cosmos played Jacksonville approximately 13 times during the regular season. Him and Jack Blake were, in my opinion, the two best players on Jacksonville squad that year. And Steinberger, yeah, he'll make stuff happen for you in the center of the field. I think that's where he belongs mostly. But really, his strength, I think, is like you mentioned that Indy fan mentioned to you guys about getting forward and getting in that box. I think he'll make stuff happen. I mean, I don't know if you guys went and looked at his highlights on YouTube, but literally the first goal is against the Rowdies from 2016, and it's him passing a goal right by Neil Collins. Neil Collins is like standing right in front of him as it's happening. It's like, oh, okay, there you go. That's he was scouting 3 years ago. So
Neil never forgets.
I'm high on Zach, and I'm not low on Brandon Allen. I just think he's got a lot to prove. I think he had two really solid years with New York Red Bulls too, back when USL was, the quality of play wasn't as great, and especially defensively, teams were not playing great defense, honestly, back in like 2016 and whatnot. And then he moved to Minnesota, kind of didn't really, I don't think he made any appearances or anything, but I think he's got a lot to prove. I know he had a few good months in Nashville. So hopefully that will continue. He seems like kind of just like a guy who's going to be in the box poaching goals or whatnot. So we'll see. Hopefully it works out. I'm cautiously optimistic about him.
Yeah, I reached out to some, we've got some colleagues through the Beautiful Game Network in both of these locations and people we just know in general. So I reached out to Evan from Bethlehem Steel, from USL Show, but covers Bethlehem Steel, and to Jonathan from the Speedway Soccer Podcast. I haven't heard back from Jonathan yet about Brandon Allen. I remember the name. Like, I know he scored either as a clutch, like, late season or playoff goal, I want to say. Evan says, hope you don't expect him to play defense. Good poacher, but doesn't offer much outside the box. So I'm in my head, he's not the Georgie replacement. I think we may get news on that later this week, possibly. Who knows? From Richard Wayne Rainwater, blah, my voice isn't working today either, about Steinberger, let him attack and he'll score goals. He struggles in very defensive setups to be as impactful. And I'm just kind of thinking, looking at the guys that we've brought back and the guys you've brought in so far, I don't know that a very defensive setup is what we're heading towards. Neil Morris, the man, the myth, the legend, checked in on Steinberger A scrappy, streaky scorer who is best as a central attacking midfielder. Some of his struggles at other stops have been when he's pushed deep or onto the wings. I don't think it's going to be an issue here. I mean, you know, we know Junior Fleming's coming back. He was announced signing with Phoenix today, but Leo is back and has kind of played that wing position. Hopefully, Steinberg isn't kind of forced out there. And that's what I've got on those guys so far. So guys who have contributed, guys who have done some work. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, you were mentioning about Brandon Allen. 8 goals last year, which was Nashville's leading scorer. And I don't know what he did in 2017, but, you know, 21 goals with Red Bull 2 in 2016 and a hat trick in the USL Cup final. And again, it's against Royal Park. It's two B teams at that point. And it seems like everybody scores a ton of goals with New York, and then it doesn't always seem to translate when they leave. But he's done it before, so, you know, we'll wait and see what happens. But I'm sure we still have more names coming in the very near future.
I watched that 2016 final, and no offense,
I watched the last half of it. I think at least
it was the worst defensive performance in any game I've ever watched. So
you're
wouldn't
saying I could have scored.
Yeah, you probably could have nailed a hat. And that's not, I'm not trying to take away his accomplishments. I'm just saying, like, let's not get carried away there because he scored a hat trick in the USL final, because it was
right.
The defense was terrible.
Because that was the year before we came in, right?
Right. I sat down and I watched it, and I was like, I'm going to figure out what this league's all about. And I said, I think I tweeted out, if this is how they play defense in USL, we're winning a cup.
and here we are, 2 years later. Eventually.
I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. It's going to happen. I'll get a tattoo. The other thing, other remark I'm going to make about Steinberger, he played with Jacksonville. He also was at IMG Academy for a while, so he's familiar with the area. Neil wanted to point out that he was familiar with what playing in Florida in the summer is like. Says fitness is really good. Being a guy in Sarasota, I dig that we have another guy with some South of the Skyway connections. But also, he has his own hashtag. I don't know if he gave this to himself or if he's just using it from someone else. Hashtag Steinbanger.
I don't ever want to use that, actually.
Well, I don't mind using it for goals.
No, still not going to use that.
Are you going to make Sudol announce that on the Al Lang? Hashtag Steinbanger.
Okay, that'll do. Every goal. That I need to happen. But I'm never using that hashtag.
We do have to get Sudol to do it. Especially for like a little Divock Origi kind of crap last second tap in. Just hear Sudol explode and bust out the Steinbanger for that. Dan, I do have
God, don't say
you,
bust out
you
the
want to hear it.
No, just don't bust out the No. No.
Do you want the bad news that's not even soccer related to take your mind off this?
Sure.
Friendly's, the iconic Massachusetts-based ice cream and burger chain, shuttered 6 locations around the Northeast Sunday, including 5 in New England.
I mean, okay with that, as long as they don't close the Orlando one and I can get a watermelon roll soon.
But this means you have to go to Orlando for things.
I mean, I was just in Orlando on Sunday.
Well, you know, we all make bad decisions.
Oh, it was terrible.
Who won the game anyway? I missed the end of your live tweeting.
It's because my phone died. Norfolk won it.
I enjoy minor league hockey as well. Things I would go to before going to an XFL game. I remember once going to one in West Palm Beach, and it was like there was a pushing match for like 30 seconds, and then it was 10 minutes of deciding who got penalties. And I think like half of both teams had to sit out for like 4 or 5 minutes.
Oh,
it was fun.
It was a pretty good game. Like, but anyway, let's stay. We got a lot to cover.
We got to talk. I keep forgetting we actually have like soccer stuff to talk about. All right, so quick run over of stats last year. Allen, 8 goals, 2 assists in 22 appearances with Nashville, 25 years old. Steinberger, 26, 17 appearances for Indy before going out on loan to North Carolina. 4 goals, 3 assists in 9 starts. I remember a lot of the Indy fans were hoping to try and find a way to bring him back once North Carolina did not make the playoffs and Indy did. And it turned out not to be a thing that was going to happen. So, anything else we want to say about these guys? There'll supposed to be more names tomorrow.
Allegedly, we should get some more names.
Good.
I just want to say, I mean, I don't want to be a party pooper or anything. I'm happy. I want these guys to do well and succeed, and I'm glad we're getting signings. I just, you know, I'm not getting too excited yet because this is kind of, I mean, we've been here before with these kinds of signings. We get guys who've had success in the league, USL or NASL, so these are no names to us. I mean, Jack Blake, awesome in Jacksonville. Zach Steinberger, right. Awesome in Jacksonville. I mean, I'm not saying it won't translate to the Rowdies. I hope it does. I think it's possible. I'm just not getting excited yet. I'm waiting to see the Rowdies to fulfill that thing where Neil was saying, talking about casting a wider net when they're, you know, out there looking, scouting for players. I want some, I'm interested to see where they look internationally, what kind of guys they look to bring in from that level. And then I also want to find out who's going to be the next, Adoro, who's going to be that unknown guy that, you know, Shane Roberts or Neil or Pato, you know, scout and find, or whoever on the staff scouts. And I want to, you know, I want some unproven guys. I want some guys who are looking to make a name from them.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely see some young guys coming in looking for an opportunity, and probably some older guys, maybe some guys with international experience to kind of round out the roster a little bit. So we'll wait and see. We'll hopefully have more names to talk about next week as well. So, Jay, a couple weeks ago, you mentioned this, and we'd kind of been throwing it around, trying to find a date to do it, and this seemed to be a good one because there hadn't been any news, and now there's lots of news. It's Christmas season, holiday season, if you don't celebrate Christmas, whatever. And now that we've got the Santa Rays, as I'm calling them, as the owners, we kept talking about now that there's new owners, I'd like to see this, like to see that. We put together our wish list. We put calls out online, tweets, voicemails. We got posts on Reddit about it from fans about what they would kind of like to see from new ownership. Now that things have changed, what are some things that we'd like to see? So we put together, had us put together like our top three. We'll kind of just do like, you know, round table, go around and share them. Who wants to start off? I think Jake should have to. It was his idea.
Yeah. Jake, floor is yours.
All right.
This was tough to limit it to three. And, let's see. Okay, so I'll just start with this one then. It's kind of an abstract thing. I'm not sure, you know, I don't have a specific idea in mind. It's just like I need a sign from the Rays that they're committed to investing in the Rays. So I need a sign of investment on some level into the Rowdies. I mean, obviously, they're going to be spending on players and all that stuff. I need something outside of the roster. I need them to show me that they're willing to spend money in the community, in the soccer community in Tampa Bay, on the Rowdies. So I need them. I'm not sure. Maybe you guys have ideas for improvements at Al Lang. There's only so much you can do without getting city council approval on certain projects. They're not going to be expanding Al Lang anytime soon. But I was thinking maybe some kind of expansion or improvement for facilities for the TBU Academy.
Oh, I like that. I like that. You know, and there is that, if you go back to the same, there is that open space kind of behind the old, where the old outfield wall was, like the old batting cages, and there's like a practice diamond or two out there. The Rowdy's Den sign, I think, might still be out there. There's some space out there that I think could be repurposed for something, even if it's just fan experience kind of things, somehow. You know, and like we said, if we know renovation or you know, reconstruction isn't happening in the near future, then there's probably some other things that can be done to enhance the stadium somewhat without having to go through the process of city council permission. I'm sure there's some things they could do, but yeah, I like the idea of putting some money, some effort into the facilities, the infrastructure for TBU. And that's obviously a big thing with Neil. They tweeted out a few weeks ago about having a lot of the higher level kids, the older kids with the program out at Al Lang for a training session with the players and the coaches. So there's still definitely the team, the coaching staff, playing staff is. But yeah, to see that kind of a commitment from the new management would be a nice thing. Dan, give us something from your wish list.
New branding. Now I'm not talking about like the logo or like the crest or anything. I'm just talking about this We Stand for Soccer stuff and like just new overall an advertising program to invest in that, get people there. But like just something fresh, like freshen up the Rowdies a bit. Everything felt a bit stale for the last 2-3 years. I think now you have new ownership. Neil Collins is a new energy. Yes, he had over half a season last year, but he's a new energy. You're going to get new players, new owners. Let's freshen things up. Let's, like the We Stand for Soccer that year with Ron, it was like it was so Bill Edwards, right? We had a new coach and all that, and it was energizing, and there was a new energy around that club. People, and it increased attendance. It got people in. I want to see something like that, and I guess it kind of ties in with Jake's thing about investment. Invest in that way. This way you can increase some revenue, get some things going, and I would like to see that. I see the graphics packages have changed already, which is great, and they look great. Uh-huh. But I would love to see, a new ad campaign and some, a little bit of some branding around this team for this year.
All right. I'm going to go, and unfortunately for most people, mine are kind of some of the dead horses I've been beating for a while. You might be able to guess one or two of them already. I still want the idea, and because I've seen this, I've seen players fans and season ticket holders from other clubs post about this. I know it happens at some USL clubs. I know it happens in MLS clubs. But this idea of kind of a members meeting, whether it's season ticket holders, if you put the invite out to them and still leave it open to the public, but something with the front office as well. I mean, I think one of the reasons, going back to what you said, Dan, the We Stand for Soccer stuff works so well. That the commercial shoot, they brought fans out, and yeah, it ended up being kind of a thing we all joke about today with the stoic and the snap and all that. But they made an effort to get fans involved in this aspect of the team, the marketing and promotion that had never really been done before. Got to spend the evening with the coaches. Some of the players have been announced. Some of the former Rowdies, like original era Rowdies, at a night at the stadium, and it was kind of a cool thing to get to do. Like, especially in this area where you're still in, and now there's apparently going to be another minor league operation coming in that may be competing directly at least in terms of when they're playing as the Rowdies. Doing that kind of outreach and hearing from the fan or hearing from the new chairman what their plans are, or providing this opportunity for doing what we're doing here, sending them these kind of unsolicited ideas, thoughts that we have, things that could be done to increase the engagement, which in turn I think increases the attendance and benefits everybody in the end. All right, Jake, what's number two? Or do we want to throw some of the fan ones in here, or do you want to save those for the end?
Maybe save those for the end, I think.
Okay. All right. So, what's next on your list?
So my other two are actually kind of they're tangentially related to you guys. I'll just pick one. Going back to what Dan's first one, I also want to see a new strategy with the marketing. I was thinking that yeah, stale is the right word to use. I forget which. I think you both used the word. Stale is definitely. I beat the drum with this. We Stand for Soccer, I think, last year about it, and no one was listening to me. It was so old by then. But what I was thinking is that I want some creative ideas and a creative strategy, kind of what Dan was talking about, something fun. I want a point of view, and I want a perspective on the marketing. I don't want just clips, players scoring goals, and I'm not criticizing the mob. The mob's great. Just cheering fans and scoring goals, it's the same thing that any team can do. Any team anywhere can do that, that kind of stuff. It's great. I mean, it's great that Bill Edwards spent the money putting ads on local Premier League broadcasts. That's awesome. I just want some creative, maybe social advertising, you know, some social media stuff. I want creative stuff with a point of view about what is unique about the Rowdies, first of all, and what is unique about Al Lang, the experience at Al Lang. What differentiates the Rowdies and Al Lang from all the other entertainment options, sporting options in the region? Why should people go to Al Lang? I want that strategy. What is unique about the Rowdies? Embrace the history, the legacy of the Rowdies. I mean, geez, they're not boring like the soccer teams. They have a history, all these great players, and the attitude about it. So I just want something creative and fresh with a perspective. No, I don't want bland marketing. I want something that is unique to the Rowdies.
And especially with the stadium and the fan experience thing, the one thing I'm always kind of fascinated by, and it's like, you know, we're used to Al Lang because that's where we go all the time. And occasionally we can make trips to, you know, other team stadiums for away games or other events. But every time, and it's not as often now because we're kind of isolated out here in Florida from other USL championship teams. But every time that fans from other clubs travel here and I see discussion online, like, they're all kind of like blown away by just kind of how cool Al Lang is and like what the experience, like what the game is like, what just the overall experience of coming to a game at Al Lang. Like, it's a popular destination for those who can get here. Promoting that, even, you know, to some of the in-town people, like the way it's viewed from out of town, might be an interesting angle to take.
Well, think how many people that you know just think St. Pete is like dead, or like it's like no one wants to go to St. Pete for whatever reason. You know, they don't want to cross the bay or anything. Like, they think it's some old folks' town, and like they like everyone who goes to a match and goes to downtown St. Pete is impressed. I think. I mean, they don't come away disappointed or anything. So it's like, I want that experience translated into the marketing of. Like, I just don't feel it with these 30-second clips that, you know, you see occasionally or whatever. I just don't feel it.
Yeah, I mean, that's and you know, I'm being slightly older than you guys and having lived over here for a while when I was a kid, and then coming back visiting family stuff when I lived on the other coast. Like, St. Pete was always just kind of the dead zone. Even when the Rowdies moved to Al Lang, I was kind of making the joke that you could, you know, have a group called the Green Bench Hooligans after the old retiree benches and kind of make a joke out of it. But it's a fun place. Like, there, you know, the restaurants, the breweries, the bars, the other things going on around town. And that's another thing that gets mentioned a lot. People come here, like, there's so much to do around the stadium that even if you don't go to a tailgate or you don't go to something else, you know, whether it's a bar or something, but you can go grab dinner afterwards because you've got a quick 2-hour game and it's over. There's definitely a lot they can do. And maybe now, since you're going to have teams kind of on one end, on either end of Central with the Rays at the Trop and the Rowdies at Al Lang, like, they can kind of include that area in the middle into a part of their promotion. Dan, what do you got on your list next?
I think now we're moving to, for me, is the things we've been harping on, customer service wise, season ticket wise. I want to see, you know, a better box office. I want to see better season ticket deals, and I want to see more, not necessarily deals, but benefits. I think that's a thing, and more promotional things like. The Rays are really good about it in the stadium, you know, bobblehead giveaways, things like that, and hot dog, like, you know, even like dollar beer and hot dog nights. Remember, we did that. Dollar beer night was what got me to one of the reasons why I went to a Rowdies game.
Yeah.
And Bill Edwards just did away with all of the things like that. I want to see stuff like that. I want, you know, the overall fan experience. Those are the two things. Like, I think, I don't even think I have a third thing, really. I can't really pop one in my head, but like better advertising and marketing campaign and just a better in-game, like, fan experience. Don't get me wrong, the soccer is fantastic, and I will always be there for that product. But I think that there needs to be a little bit more of a value to the fan experience. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'll pay for I'll drink the big, I always get the big storm, a big storm and things like that. But I think they're just probably need some value. I think we've heard through the last year or two about for a second division soccer club, the concession stands are prices are a little ridiculous. So, I mean, you can keep them there, but also, you know, make some deals, have some good nights, just overall increase the fan experience.
Yeah, I can see that. And I have, you know, from some of my conversations with some of the ticket folks, there, I know there is going to be at least one like season ticket holder only event during the year with fans and players in the team. And they're trying to figure out like some kind of giveaway, whether it's a you know, merchandise, a scarf, something like that to go with season tickets. Like they're cognizant of the fact that this has been an ongoing problem,
but tickets
haven't been a, you know, there's not been enough out there to make season tickets worth buying over, you know, a game day ticket. So
I don't know what
the end result's going to be, but I know they're at least trying to figure it out.
But that's the baseline. That's not the
right. Yeah,
that's.
But I mean, we've got to get to that point at least.
I mean, I would that I expect. I expect them to be the baseline. Every other, I'm pretty sure every other team in first and second division soccer does a better season ticket thing than we do. That shouldn't be hard to figure out. I want above and beyond that. I want to be more than basic. And I think the Rays are, from what they do, you know, on the other end of Central, is they do that. They show they have the ability and the sense to be able to do that. And I want them to bring that expertise and experience to the Rowdies.
Well, and I'm kind of hoping, you know, because Bill Edwards' background is like entertainment, like events at Mahaffey Theater, concerts, music, you know, label and management and stuff like that. And it kind of always felt like their point of view was tickets and concessions were your revenue generators. Like you get people into the stadium. The crowd definitely grew, but I think at some point it could have grown more. Maybe ticket prices, maybe concession prices are part of that thing where people are like, eh. But from their point of view, like that's how you run the business. And the Rays obviously have a different point of view. I mean, there's, you know, they, you know, free parking when you've got four more people in the car, all these kind of little things that they do. It's, you know, it's not about just getting you to the stadium and making money off you for one game. It's making the experience worthwhile to where you want to come back for several games. And you know, I know I was thinking that from the end of last year when the deal was announced and a lot of the kind of diehard Rays fans who have never come over to Al Lang for a soccer game or anything else came by and were like, hey, this is a hell of a time. Like, well, we got to do this more often. You know, maybe they can package some, you know, part season Rays deals and part season Rowdies deals and do some promotions on weekends when there's, you know, kind of back-to-back games. I think running a sports team and having that experience, they'll have a little bit more of the perspective we're hoping for when it comes to doing things at the stadium.
I hope so.
I mean, there's lots of hope right now, and that's, which goes back to my first thing about having this, you know, kind of open meeting and just throwing this stuff out there. Like, get somebody out there with a microphone and record all this stuff, because you're gonna have to kind of dig through it piece by piece. My second thing, and this is gonna go to fan experience as well, and I've been going on and on about this for years. Like the Mahaffey kickoff party, it's cool. You know, we've done that a bunch of times, and it's always kind of promoted as, you know, the season ticket holders come in an hour early, but kind of anybody gets in, and the only thing you're getting by getting in there an hour early is to pick up your tickets. You know, the food comes rolling out at a certain point. Like, I'd rather go back to, you know, kind of what the Rays do with Fan Fest at Tropicana Field, and maybe you even combine it and have a joint Rays Rowdies Fan Fest.
No. Keep this entity separate. I'm going to jump in right there. Don't do a mixed fanfest.
I'd like to at least have some representation. So the guys, the folks who go to the Rays ones are aware that there's something there, and maybe there's something they can promote. Even if you don't do a joint, like, whole event, have some kind of representation.
Well, yeah, you can have a Rowdy's booth or something, like, you know, a promotions thing there, but don't do a dual, like, a combined fan fest. That's that no.
But, like, yeah, and they're kind of, you know, on that track a little bit with this opening the stadium up on Saturday mornings and once a month for, I didn't get a chance to go out to Al Lang after all, because everybody in my house got sick and I had to drive people around and do everything else. But, you know, doing stuff in, do more stuff in the stadium at least, and maybe starting with this kind of season kickoff fan fest kind of thing. The Mahaffey thing just isn't a big deal to me anymore. It's not, I mean, it's cool when, you know, Rob Stone shows up every now and then and you get a chance to get a picture and talk to him, but it's, you know, here's the jerseys and here's the, like, we're making a fresh start now. Let's make fresh starts and other ideas. And I kind of liked when they used to do stuff out there.
I think it should be moved to Al Lang, but I mean, I like the Mahaffey part, the kickoff party. You get to see it. It's like the, I don't know, meet and greet. You got to hang out with your fellow Rowdy fans, yeah, shake some hands.
But yeah, like exactly, do it at the stadium and have the players come running out of the, you know, the dugout tunnel and to show off the jersey, and you can throw it up there on the video screen, and then, you know, maybe afterwards everyone gets to come down to the field and there's, you know, rub elbows and do whatever and but something out there where it feels like it's, you know, a soccer team kind of thing rather than going to the Mahaffey and you know. Some people are putting on kind of, you know, their nice, you know, evening wear for the event. And it's not exactly, you know, a soccer feeling kind of.
We'll agree to disagree on this one because I really enjoyed those things. And it was nice to, you know, be indoors. And even though it wasn't, it felt, I mean, you talk to the players, they got to dress up a little bit and unveil the jerseys. I don't think that needed to be a soccer thing. But I can see doing it at Al Lang. You know, put a stage or something on the side where the performances are and let everybody on the field already. But I think the kickoff party is one of my favorite. It was one of the things I look forward to every year.
Yeah. And just, you know, just like the We Stand for Soccer, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of a little stale, I think, after all these years. Jake, do you have a third thing or do you combine them in that last go around?
No, I've got a third thing. This is like my more specific thing. It's related to what you guys were just discussing. Yeah, they're going to have a season ticket holder event this year. I think you guys mentioned they've solicited that. But I was thinking, what could they do that would be special about it and make it special and unique? So this could be either season ticket holder exclusive, or it could be season ticket holder, you know, gets a free admission and then everyone else pays, you know, a small fee or whatever. But I was thinking, what about a pop-up Rowdy's Museum somewhere, you know, I guess it could be at Al Lang or whatever, or some location. Something celebrating the history of the Rowdy's in the region. I mean, Jesus, they've played for so many years that they've been such a part of Tampa Bay, the soccer community in Tampa Bay for so long. I mean, there's so much to explore and that kind of thing. I think you could get so many players involved, old players involved, you know, for do Q&As or whatnot. And it'd be a great way to show that the Rays are committed to being caretakers of the legacy and the history of the Rowdies. So some kind of, you know, just like a pop-up museum of some sort. There's so many ways you could do it. I mean, like I said, Q&As, photo exhibitions. I mean, there's just so many ways to go with it, I think.
That could even be something in that unused space at the stadium out there, like in the kind of the past the midfield section. That's an idea. Dan, you have a third thing?
Sugar Honey ST. I just had it in my head.
I did get an update from Nashville, a scouting report on Brandon Allen. Good poacher, provides little to no off the ball work, not a speed guy, knows how to operate in space.
Okay, I got it. It was playing off of Jake's point. we didn't see any embracing of the history for the last 5 years. You could have done more with Georgie approaching the, you know, the all-time scoring record. You could have seen brought some of these guys back for, you know, like a celebration kind of night. And we didn't do any of that. I would like to see the Rays make that kind of overture, and like Jake said, exactly what Jake said, just embrace it, invest in it, show us you're willing to, you know, roll up your sleeves and actually buy into what the Rowdies mean to the fans in the area. If not a pop-up museum or exhibit or something, get some of these old players around. We know some, quite a few are in the area. You can get a hold of them and celebrate the history, have a night or something, and do things like that, because you do have some of those old school fans still in the stands. You have new fans that would love to learn the history, and, you know, or connect it and anchor it down. So I think that would be my third point, is just let's bring that history back. You even see with the Rays, like, they have their throwback uniforms. How many times did we see game 162, things like that or whatever. So they even celebrated their World Series berth this year. They had the team back from 10 years ago. So obviously they should just be buying into the deep, rich history of the Rowdies, and let us celebrate the past while we dream for the future.
Well, and let's be honest, we're going into what this is year 10, right, for the new Rowdies. This would be a good time to kind of celebrate the new history that's been made, and let's be honest, the state of soccer in this country and soccer in general, kind of the history in the Tampa Bay area. If you had told me 10 years ago that this we'd still be doing this, not the podcast, we haven't done this that long, but if the team would still be operating in 10 years, I'd said, you know, maybe 50-50 chance getting started, you know, and here they've you know, we've already been through several ownership changes, and I think it's fair to say they've you know, gone up as far as like trading up. You went from the original investment group to Bill Edwards, and now bringing in the Tampa Bay Rays. At least, you know, it's not random kind of businessmen or investors being brought into, but you know, it's legitimate organization. So the club's on a solid footing, it feels like. And now none of us went over what our three things were with each other before we did this. I know I didn't talk to any of you guys about it. I don't know if you guys talked about them. My third thing too also goes back to the history, the older I guess dynamic, whatever you want to call it. And I've mentioned this before, you know, they did the thing a couple years ago where they did the remade the what was it, the kick in the grass t-shirt, and that was a huge seller. That was, but you saw them all over the stadium for the rest of that season. I like to see at least kind of one piece of retro gear brought back, maybe updated a little bit every year. I love the trucker hat thing that, you know, goes for like $200 on eBay if you can find one. But even like the floppy beanie hat, there's that picture of current Louisville coach John Hackworth at a Rowdies game like 2 years ago wearing one of those kind of green and gold beanies. They're kind of goofy looking, but they're kind of iconic for the Rowdies and for people locally. You know, doing stuff like that is you know, you reach out a little bit to the older fans, the original fans, and bring the new fans into that kind of timeline a little bit. I'd like to see something like that, and I think the Rays probably have better connections as far as creating and delivering merchandise like this than maybe Bill Edwards did. You'd have a chance to see some pretty neat stuff.
I would not mind. I mean, merchandise, we could probably go on for about merchandising for a while, but I won't, because I think they need to revamp. I think they should be made. I'm not sure how you would do it, but I think there should be a few jerseys made, because I'm not spending $90 on a custom Rowdies jersey when the player's not going to be here the following year.
Right.
So a $25, $30 jersey with a player's name on the back would be perfect. I think you could make more money off that. And if the player leaves, oh, well, I either still wear it or it becomes like a, you know, a workout shirt or something. So I think you can, there's revenue streams there that could be, you know, created. Merchandising as a whole, and that's, I'm not trying to take shots at anybody down there. They did, but whoever was designing them or whoever made the decisions, I think we could have had some better designs that were more, I don't know, adult. I hate to say that, like the Rowdy's t-shirts for, like, it was either a polo or a weird graphic on a t-shirt that was terrible. And so I hope we can get better versions of that, or like it was either that or like an $80 polo or a $60 polo, and the polos were nice, but I wasn't going to spend $60 on a polo. Like, and maybe I'm just cheap, but like at the same time, like a little bit better priced and, better options for merchandising would be nice.
And I know we're gonna bring some of the fan ones here in a second, but I'm gonna jump this one in because it just came in on Twitter, and it's from, I believe, our voicemailer. But bringing back the indoor soccer side, they kind of played the splits. You know, just something fun to go to. It's basically soccer's version of XFL anyway, so why not?
They have the Lakeland Tropics for indoor.
Yeah, but who
soccer
wants to drive all the way to Lakeland?
I mean, I drive all the way to St. Pete. I don't hear people complain. Jake, like, flies
Lakeland's
down
twice as far from, to go
Jake
to see.
Flies from New York to come see these Rowdies. You all have no excuses.
My conscience is not great when it comes to this climate change discussion. I'm very worried about my carbon footprint going to Rowdies games.
Jake's gonna end up going to NPSL pro games just to save the environment. All right, Jake, you put together some of the fan ideas on Twitter, on Reddit, and then Dan, you've got the voicemail. Let's go ahead and go through some of those and see what people came up with.
Yeah, sure. To start with, Mike Pendleton. This is a big one. I think a lot of people are on this, and this would have been mine, but I saw Mike, so I just left it off my list. A better local broadcast partner than This TV. With away matches broadcast as well. And he also wants to keep the rodeo broadcast going too, which they did on iHeartRadio for the last few months of the season, which I totally agree with him on the keeping the radio broadcast going. I actually listened to a few of them with Trevor DeGroote on iHeart. They did a great job. They did actually a really great job of broadcasting those games. So I'd be very happy to see that. And get the Rowdies off This TV. No one has This TV. No one watches This TV unless they're watching Two and a Half Men or Big Bang Theory reruns. I think the most important thing is getting them broadcast on getting the away matches broadcast. That way people know where they can find it. They don't have to worry about subscribing to ESPN Plus, then go to a bar, which will have local TV on it. So, I mean, that seems like a no-brainer. I mean, and the Rays, obviously, they do well with their local TV ratings, so they have some connections, so hopefully that can help out the Rowdies. Jonah King on Twitter wants to see a new broadcast team in the booth brought in next year. He wasn't a fan of the team that came in this year, and I think we've heard a lot of people kind of mention this sentiment. It just wasn't working for whatever reason, so he'd like to see a change there. Should I keep going, or you want to throw in the voicemail, or you want to keep going?
Just run through this list, and we'll kind of throw in comments on these as they do jump out to us. Right. Go ahead.
Chip McKenzie, something I'd enjoy seeing is a little pop up at the Rays Baseball Fan Fest. Maybe get some Tampa Bay Rowdies players and their coaches, or meet them with the fans. Get Rowdies. Pete the Pelican walking around, ticket packages and merch percent. The cross promotion possibilities are amazing. Dan, do you have any thoughts on this?
Again, a pop up tent is fine at the Rays Fan Fest. A Rays pop up tent would be great at a Rowdies Fan Fest. Don't mingle them. I mean, they're two very different crowds. It's two very different teams. It's two very different events. Two very different, and they're two different spots. Please just like. Just don't mix. Don't cross the streams, man. Don't cross the streams. Where's Venkman when I need him?
Yeah, refusing to appear in the sequel. That's what he. That's where he is. All right. Is there anything else on the list?
Yeah, there's one more from Twitter. At football for you and me, he had a lot of suggestions.
Oh, he had a huge thread kinda... the other day that I liked a lot of the stuff in there.
Yeah, I liked a few of them, so they popped out to me. I condensed the list a little bit. So he wants to continue the partnership with youth clubs, which I think we've seen that Neil Collins is especially keen to do. Increased marketing, which I think we're all in favor of, but also smart marketing, inventive, creative marketing. Continue scouting local adult talents, which I think they've started in the offseason. We saw that Neil Collins invited, this is an adult, but teenagers on the cusp of moving into the college game. The Rowdies invited a bunch of top talent into Al Lang to train for a night or whatever. So I think we're seeing that. This is the big one. Work with Hispanic restaurants, especially those from Armenia, MLK, and Water Streets. I think a lot of people have mentioned this this suggestion over the years about at least making some sort of effort to convert some Spanish-speaking fans in the area to come out to Rowdy's games, and I don't think it would hurt at all to invest in that.
Mm-hmm.
Build relationships with South American teams, clubs for loaning and building strategy skills for players. Sao Paulo. Sao Paulo.
We're going to have a good opportunity coming up in January.
Yeah. I don't know about that one, but not terrible idea. Not terrible idea. Have a creative team on board that knows Tampa well. I think this kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier about a marketing strategy, some kind of creative strategy that is unique to the Rowdies and unique to Tampa Bay, that knows what the community is interested in, what appeals to them. And then let's see, involvement with high school, middle school, elementary school, sending players for appearances, which I think the Rowdies have been actually really good at. It's like, that's been like their number one thing. They've been really good at, I would say. They send players to elementary and middle school appearances like all the time. I would give them credit for that. Get involved with local support shops for promoting matches. Pop-up shops before the season starts for selling merch at like big retail locations. And friendlies with Central American teams. Or, if that's too expensive, invite amateur regional teams. He mentions Miami FC and the team from Alabama, Mobile, I think. Uh-huh. He said.
And Dan's
that's
new
it
friend.
From Twitter. Yeah, that's it. That's it from Twitter, but there's stuff, a couple from Reddit.
Well, let me jump in on a couple of those. Like, the one thing, if I could have done four things on the list, or this probably should have been in the top three, I would say. I still think the team overall needs to do a better job of reaching out to the Hispanic community in Tampa, St. Pete, wherever. It doesn't have to be, Spanish language ads, but like you said, bringing in, having international friendlies with Central South American teams, the teams that some of these guys are familiar with because either they've come from there, or their families or parents, wherever, have come from there, the teams that they still kind of identify with. And let's be honest, that's really kind of what Florida Cup is there for. It's always like a Central South American team and maybe a lower level kind of European team. Like we saw it last year with Atletico Nacional from Colombia. And then I forget what the Polish team was, but there was a huge crowd there. And I know some of the guys from the Mob went and talked to him and they're like, are you guys local? You come to Rowdy's games? And then they're like, oh no, we never come over here. We're from Tampa. Instead of having two foreign teams, bring in a team that the Rowdies are going to play, something that's going to generate interest and maybe introduce the Rowdies to some of these guys as well, too. I'd like to think the Rays are kind of in a better position given the popularity of baseball in Latin America to maybe have those kind of inroads, make those kind of moves. We'll wait and see, but I think if there's one big missed opportunity, it still feels like that's it.
I'm not sure a friendly with the Rowdies gets them back over the bridge in the regular season, though.
No, but then you start to see, especially if you have players of different nationalities on here, and all of a sudden they go, oh, there's, you know, maybe I'll come back because there's a you know, a player from Uruguay or a player from Argentina or something.
I think getting some Spanish speaking players and putting them in Spanish speaking ads across in the Bay Area would be good. I think this
that's
way,
big too. Yeah,
yeah. I think definitely. You celebrate that stuff and get that out. I don't know. I'm not the expert on that. So anyway,
it feels weird to talk about it because I don't know that culture as well, and I don't want to like throw something out there that just is totally off base. But it just feels like that's the big area that's still maybe where you can get the most improvement in your investment.
I think that's an area that a lot of soccer teams in America have struggled with. <Yeah. laughs> It's just so hard to convert some of those fans who have their teams in the countries they're, you know, they have some relation to. And I mean, I'm not judging them. That's how they want to interact with soccer. I mean, it's so hard to get people to, some people to, you know, give American soccer a shot, especially lower division soccer. But, I mean, certainly the Raddies could be making more of an effort, I think. So.
All right. So you said you had some Reddit comments too.
Yeah. Two from Reddit's, Rumbles Ubamba.
I love that
no
name.
Idea. Yeah.
I don't know who it is, but I love the name.
Yeah. More aggressive and inventive marketing techniques to increase our presence in the area and get more sellouts. I think this is kind of what we were talking about earlier. And then smart investment in squad with a mix of youth and proven experience. We need to properly replace Schaefer and Georgie. I think everyone can agree with all of that. Okay, and then Chug Laguna, who I don't recall ever seeing on Reddit before. As a season ticket holder for both, market Rowdy's matches at Rays games and Rays games at Rowdy's matches. Have a discount or giveaway for bringing a sub from the other sport to a game. Play up the connection, please. Have a DJ Kitty or Raymond show up in a Rowdy's jersey at a match. Have some presence at the Grand Prix, St. Pete Grand Prix. Overlap between IndyCar and soccer is ridiculous, but what do we get every year? $1 booth in front of the Rowdy's field. Draw those people in. I haven't weighed in on this yet, but I'm with Dan. I think it's important to keep the entities separate as much as possible. Yeah, you can have, I mean, if like there's some event where all of the major sports teams in the area are coming together to promote or whatever, yeah, you want the Rowdy's to be in there with the Rays, obviously. But I agree. I mean, the demo is different. For soccer and baseball, for the Rowdies and the Rays, I think it's important to keep these entities separate, especially with all the negative connotation some people have about the Rays and everything. It's just important to keep it separate as much as possible.
Yeah, I see it, but at the same time, I think about the people that came to the last Rowdies game of the season, the last home game, just because of the Rays announcement, and were like, man, this is pretty cool. Like, it's definitely a different demo, but there is a bit of an area of an overlap in the Venn diagram between these two groups, and it's
right.
Finding who those people are.
You already
and getting
did
them to both.
You already did, because the ones that care were following the Rays closely enough and came on the last game of the season, and I think some of them were D Rays Bay guys who are Rays diehards, and they're just
right.
Trying to check it out, and they're good guys, great guys, great people, I don't think you're going to tap into some untapped market there that, I think just keep the entity separate. Like Jake said, there's some negative connotations with the Rays. I think if you start mixing and mingling too much, you get the question, then you get a lot of the, well, you spent X amount on the Rays, why aren't you investing X amount in the Rowdies? Or
that goes both ways too, because right. There are Rays fans who were pissed off that the Rays were buying a soccer team.
I was just about to say that. You're going to get the, oh, well, they just spent, the Rowdies just signed six players this week. Why aren't the Rays buying, why didn't they go in on such and such pitcher? And you keep the entities separate, please. Like I said, a little promotion of a booth at FanFest or a little bit of this, if Raymond in a Rowdy's jersey shows up, cool. If Pete ends up in a Rays jersey at a Rays, that's cool. That's fine. That is fine. But don't go overboard of trying to, a dual FanFest or things, and just minimal cross-promotion and nothing, normal hashtag Team Tampa Bay stuff. That's where I'm at. Just normal Team Tampa Bay stuff.
Did you see the latest news on the attempted stadium deal between the Rays and Tampa today?
Yeah, I was following that, but we'll let D-Rays Bay handle that.
I'm just thinking. You think the complaints get were bad when they bought the team? Just wait till it's March and the rowdy season starts, and the drop dead date for the deal passes. It could get ugly.
Yeah, let's not worry about that. We're rowdies, and they're two separate entities.
Let's let the local media like have their fun making that into a story when it's not a story.
Right.
The way they were framing that today, I was like, what's the big deal? They have nearly 4 months to get a deal done. So, yeah, they have plenty of time. What's the big deal?
Well, the backdrop is they've had 3 years to negotiate a deal with Tampa when St. Pete let them look out there, and now everything's happening. And, it's December. The deadline that St. Pete gave them was end of 2018, and that's...
Yeah, but St. Pete's not going to hold him up. St. Pete's not going to hold him up. They're going to give him a deal, extension, Christman, whatever.
Christman basically said something about, we need some clarity, which I'm sure means money. They'll get extensions. It'll work out. All right, Dan, you've got the voicemail, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go ahead and play this. I've read a partial translation, not translation, but a transcript from Google. So I have a little bit of an idea, but it's by no means a perfect transcription. And I haven't had a chance to sit and listen to the whole thing yet. So go ahead and play it.
Hey, Mike, Dan, this is David Clabo. Hey, you guys have talked about it a bunch, but if you're looking for wish list stuff, I think the one thing we'd really hope from the new ownership is a little more consistent, better treatment of the season ticket holders, right? I mean, I'm not talking about perks. We'd all love more perks and, get to hang out with the players or something like that. But really, it's just consistency, knowing who your rep is, consistency about, getting responses when you're following up. Like, we've asked about parking for a couple of years in a row and have never even heard back from the guys who are our reps. So that drives my wife crazy. Anyway, that's the kind of thing that I'd like to see, a little more professionalism out of the way they handle season ticket holders. They're great, right up until you buy, and then once you've written your check, it's hard to get anybody to call you back. Anyway, that's all I got. Love the show.
All right, so there you go. Thoughts on that?
I agree. The ticket office, we did that whole episode, was that last off season, about how god awful like the ticket office was, and remember all the venting complaints about it? So I agree. I think last year they worked at it. I think they heard us in that off season, but obviously there are still some complaints that they need to work on, and I think the professionalism that comes with the Rays will spill over to that. So I agree. I think customer service is the first thing that you see. It's still a business, and customer service should still be number one. And your ticket office is basically the your interaction, your face of the team to the public. So I think you need to make sure you have a skilled, personable office that does follow up and take care of the people spending the most money, and that's your season ticket holders.
Yeah, I mean, that's the ticket office it's like the point of first contact. So it's the first impression. It's the when you always make a connection between the people you're giving money to and the thing you're getting in exchange. So, yeah, on that note, I'm a shout out to my ticket rep. It was his birthday the other day. Happy birthday, Joe. I know he listens because he'll call me sometimes and talk about things that we said on the show. So I know I know they are listening, whether they're in a position to make these changes or make improvements or offer suggestions. Hopefully now they are. I don't know if that was so much of a thing in the past, but we're gonna find out in the next few months overall, I guess. Any last things before we wrap up?
No, I don't have anything.
All right. Thank you, Jake,
for
giving us
retiring numbers.
Stop retiring numbers.
Do not retire numbers. Don't do that.
Sorry if I screamed into my microphone and blew everyone's ear out.
No, you're good.
Retiring numbers.
Yeah, totally worth it. I'm totally on board that retiring numbers is BS. just don't do it. Don't be that guy. Anyway, thanks,
bring back Takuya Yamada for celebrate.
I was surprised that wasn't in your top three. I gotta say, I didn't want to throw anything in there because I thought you might be jinxing it. But
I've got a list, man. Anyone get at me in the DMs? I've got my list.
Oh God. All right. So let's wrap it up. We'll be back next week on Wednesday. Hopefully, I still won't be fighting this cold that I've been fighting all night. We love you. I'd like to say we love you to the Rowdies for giving us the news again. Like, it's like it's my favorite time of the year when the DMs start to get a little interesting, names start to get thrown our way, and you know, pay attention for this, look out for that, and then the next day they're like, hey, the alarm lights flash up on Twitter, I'm ready, let's go, let's do this. If you'd like to subscribe and support the show on Patreon, we're on there. We're going to do a little bit of renovation on it shortly, but thank you to everybody because today was the day I get the email that, you know, the monthly money has been received. You guys help keep us going, fix things that aren't working and do stuff like that. It's patreon.com/unusedsubspod. If you're looking to do some small business, I know small business Saturday's already over, but we're technically a small business. So if you'd like to do whatever, fine. Give us a rating and review wherever you're listening to this. It keeps our name out there, puts us in front of other people, which is always helpful. Thank you to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, to Shamrock, to Big Storm, all the guys we hung out with this year, Mickey Quinn. Thank you guys. And thanks to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and U.S. Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Gentlemen, it's been fun. I know it's real when we start getting all three of us on the show. So I know we're still months away. Anyone want to just take a random guess when we're going to get a schedule?
Couple weeks.
I know they announced like League One's getting the schedule like this weekend, and then Championship was like sometime.
I say a week and a half.
We'll see. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. See you later.
Peace.
Bye.
The Rowdies were here, the Rowdies were there, they kicked the wall around.